Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iOS Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Windows 95 on your Apple Watch?
I got one word, pachinko.
Plus, who wants to podcast in text messages?
I do on iOS Today. It's time for iOS Today, the show where we cover all of the Apple iOS devices. And, you know, people are going to write us a nasty note saying, well, wait a minute, the Apple TV's not iOS, it's tvOS. Well, I say it's iOS. The Apple Watch is not iOS, it's watchOS. Well, I say it's iOS.
Mm-hmm. I say this is padOS.
PadOS and phoneOS. This is the new naming nomenclature. But phone, tablet, Apple TV, Apple Watch, that's what we cover on this show. Hello, Megan Maroney.
Hello, Leo Laporte.
Lovely print for the springy dress.
Thank you. Yes. I feel a bit like Betty Draper in it.
Well, that's good because I've always thought of myself as Don Draper.
Yes. We'll just, channel our inner Drapers for this show.
The Drapers are here, ladies and gentlemen.
So I was thinking about the topic for this show, and I was listening to This Week in Google, and you had an excellent discussion about Shindogu.
Chindogu. I don't know what it is, but it was an excellent discussion. It's usefully useless things.
Right.
It's a Japanese word coined by a guy who does a magazine of Chindogu and sells Chindogu stuff. And I thought, you know, it's naturally, the Japanese would have a word for that. So it's something that's kind of fun, but not really useful.
Like the Swiffer costume for your baby, like a Swiffer outfit for your baby so they could, crawl around on the floor. That is
Oh, that's useful. Shindogu. Yeah, because the baby cleans. Sure. There is an international Chindogu society. A lot of these are inventions. Like we mentioned on Twig, the helmet that you wear in the Japanese metro that has a suction cup on the back, you stick your head to the... There it is. To the subway window, and that way when you fall asleep, your head doesn't fall over.
Yeah.
Shindogu.
Also, you were talking about a printer that just prints out your Instagram pictures.
This is a real thing.
Yeah.
That's how we got started.
The plumber hat, too, that is a real thing.
That looks more like a Kickstarter-y kind of. I have an idea. If you give me money, maybe I'll develop it kind of a thing more. But the printer... The reason we're talking about this, we started with talking about the Revolve Hub and how things, that's the one that Nest bought and then decided to kill. And a lot of people were stuck with a $300 Chindogu, a thing that didn't do anything. And that's how the conversation started. And we were talking to your friend Stacey Higginbotham, who, by the way, is wonderful. Love her. And she has a little printer that just, it's like a grocery tape of useless stuff comes out of it, and the company that makes the server's gone, but she's talking about there's an open source movement to keep it alive, etc., and that's how we got on the conversation. It's fascinating. But if you think about it, a lot of the apps that we run on our phone and tablets are kind of Chindogu.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. There's so many, and you know, we get really excited about them, and we talk about them, and then we're like, well, when we try to use them, we're like, is that really useful?
So, Flappy Bird is the classic,
yes.
Right?
Well, so the first one is one that came out last week, and you might disagree with me, and it's okay. Talk Show, the Talk Show app, which I was fascinated by. So the Talk Show app is...
I'm still clueless, so you're going to have to... Because I read it, and I did still not understand.
The best way that I can describe it is it's like a podcast, like you and I talking, but we're text messaging and inviting people to watch us text back and forth.
The example they give on the website is Ed Sheeran and Taylor Swift. Who knew, first of all, that they text each other late at night? And they had a cute little conversation. And I guess Tay-Tay put it on her Instagram, a screenshot of it. And it is true that you see on Instagram now a lot of screenshots of text conversations.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, a couple of my favorite Instagram accounts are Texts from Your Ex. Do you follow that one?
I don't, but I've heard of
it. It's really funny because it's also kind of inappropriate. And then there's another one, I can't even say the name of it, so inappropriate. It's about your family, your crappy family. And it's texts from your mom or your dad, and the kids are going, can you believe this is my family? So I do think that there is this kind of thing going on, but I'm not sure I understand how talk show would work.
So, yeah, I mean, Jason and I tried it the other day, and it was just basically, you know.
So you're having a conversation.
Yeah, he invited me, and we chatted back and forth a little bit, and then people can watch. So, you know, you can hear.
Are they watching live?
They can watch live, yes, while you're. So let me find.
So it's streaming, public streaming of your text conversation.
So here's one, entrepreneurs in tech. And so you have to be invited. So all these people over here have been invited, but then you can react to it here. So these people are watching.
So this is like
watching
a side room.
Yeah, and then I guess you can see who are the hosts.
Wouldn't you feel a lot of pressure to perform and, like, amuse?
I think so. Well, here's the thing. Like, I feel like I am pretty funny. Like, oh, we're funny when we, you know,
funny
message
looking.
Each other back.
Yeah. Oh, that's actually, you know what? That's a good point. Our text messages are pretty funny.
But I think that's
we don't share those publicly.
And I think we're funny because we know our audience, right?
Right. You know me and I know you.
You know, if you were going to take that publicly, that's where you get in trouble on Twitter, right?
Yeah.
Like, so
I don't think I'd want to.
That's why I think this seems useful, but I'm not sure. Like, we talked to Michael Sippy, the creator. He was, you know,
he was
at Twitter.
Twitter product guy at Twitter.
Yeah, and so I think, like, it's... I wouldn't, you know, I think it's Shindogu now, but it might be something bigger later. But for right now, I cannot. It's sort of useful, but also sort of useless.
There is. There's the Ed Sheeran and Tay-Tay text messaging. Go to sleep. I'll talk to you soon. In a bizzle swizzle, like you said, Ed. That's okay, Tay. And then Ed says, you think for multi-platinum lyricists, we'd do better. That's pretty funny. I just don't feel like most of our conversations would be, you know, go over that well.
Yeah. And it is kind of like.
So it's Periscope for chat.
Right. Well, that's what I thought when I talked to Michael. I was like, this reminds me of your story of how Twit was born all the time. You said, we all got around together. We were having some conversations. We recorded it.
Right.
And we were like, let's make this a show.
Okay. Okay.
But I think that podcasting is different. I think it's, I don't think it's the same. So talk show.
You know what? It's a great idea. And I like it that Sippy. Left Twitter and now has some good ideas. Why couldn't you help when you were there? All right.
So it's a free app. Check it out. Also, it's incredibly difficult to find interesting stuff on it right now.
I was thinking quite literally when you said Shindogu's.
Okay, let's see what you got.
There is nothing more Shindogu than pachinko. You know what pachinko is? The Japanese pinball game. It's all the rage in Japan. And I looked around and it looks to be, I think, the best pachinko game out there. So the idea is you go to a pachinko parlor, and this is actual gambling in Japan. They put money down and they can win coins. You're going to launch the ball. This is very old-fashioned, and yet it's very popular. You're going to launch the ball into the pachinko, and then it bounces on these pins.
I like this
sound.
And
it makes a lot of fun, clunky little sounds, and that's pretty much it. It's as Shindogu as you get. I guess you could...
Does it? Oh, can you shake it?
I don't know if it helps. Oh, look. Oh, I got five more balls. So you see, it's kind of like it's kind of a slot machine, really, is what it kind of is. But I think if you were a pachinko fan, you would probably go, wow, this is really fun.
I like the sounds.
I know. Well, that's, you know, you go in a pachinko parlor, there's a lot of people doing it, it's pretty loud. So you can there's not a whole lot of settings to be done. The nice thing about this is it's 99 cents, but there are no in-app purchases to bug you. You just, oh, that was terrible. Let's do a little mini pachinko. That's better. All right, there you go. See, there's some skill involved. Oh, yeah, baby. Jackpot. Let's see if I can do that again. Oh. That cost me a ball, by the way. That's not a freebie. So there you go. That's about as Shindogu as you can get, right? That's it. It's not, you know, boom.
All right. So
okay.
I have something that's even less useful and more useless.
Okay. I don't know how that's possible, but I'd like to see it.
Maybe you saw this over the weekend. Nick Lee posted on Medium that he installed Windows 95
that
on his Apple Watch.
Crazy.
So
now, is that hard to do?
Well, it's would have been hard for me to do. But does there audio?
It takes,
there?
By the way, I believe half an hour to boot.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think it's interesting because
she's going to speed up the the process. And there's the littlest, tiniest start menu. You know, if you think about it, really, the processor in the Apple Watch, the RAM and everything, is probably bigger than the Windows 95 machine you had.
That's what's so interesting. We're carrying around on our wrists the same computing power that we used to have in the giant machines at our desk 25, 30 years ago.
Oh, wait a minute. That looks like he's booting Mac OS.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe you have to boot Mac OS before you. Oh, no, you're looking at the wrong one. That's OS 7 he's booting on his Apple Watch.
Yeah, that's useful.
That would be useful. So that was OS 7. Now, because he did the easy one, 10 Digi.
Now he's going to try
it. Or 10 Digi. There you go.
So cute,
that's the boot sound.
Isn't it?
Notice he had to build a little device to keep it. I don't know what that device is. Looks like a little spinner of the dial spinner.
Yeah.
Keep it from falling asleep, I guess.
Right. While it's booting, yeah.
It takes a long time to boot.
You know, I think there are people out there, nobody who watches this show, but some people that might consider the Apple Watch a little chindogu.
It is all chindogu all the time.
I disagree. I have some real uses, but...
Oh, we'll see one later.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, she's found some really good uses.
So, I encourage people to put something else on the Apple Watch. I mean, to make it really OS 7, Windows 95.
Windows 95, those are two pretty good things there. Look, you'd have to file your fingers down to a point to use that. That is crazy.
Or perhaps a tiny
small
little stylus.
Oh, there you go.
Like a pin?
Yeah, a pin. It's a mouse operator. Look, it's so cute. It's got menus. Can he play Minesweeper? That's what I want to know.
Oh, yeah.
Listen to the sound. The boot sound.
I love stuff like this.
Well, it is a geek tradition. Mm-hmm. You get a new device. So here's, again, I'm still in Japan. See, I took you far, far too literally
I know
on this whole thing. But this was when the iPad 2 came out. This was a demo that they created on on the Unreal Engine. I think it was Electronic Arts that created it. Remember this?
Mm-hmm.
Zen Garden. And they were all, look how amazing the graphics are on the iPad 2. We can do this. And what I realized is I hadn't played with it since the iPad 2. So I thought, well, let's put it on the new iPad Pro, which is probably 30 times faster, and see if it looks any better. So I'm going to go back here. You can fish for koi in the koi pond. You can make it seasons change on the
cherry blossoms.
Yep. Let's get the Sakura Festival going here. Oh, it's so beautiful.
So now that you brought up a good point about chindogu, like Zen, this has a purpose just to relax you.
Yeah. Well, I would think, you know, that at the very least, chindogu would be relaxing.
Mm-hmm. Or, well, I don't know about that.
Pachinko is not relaxing. Look, watch this. This was the thing that, oh man, there's so much graphics power. Watch. You can do that. Whoa, man.
I want someone to put Zen Garden on my Apple Watch.
That would be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You like to draw in the sand? Why not? Let's do it.
Yeah, let's.
I need a rake. Oh. Damn it, I have to start all over again. Okay.
Oh, you definitely need that. I think after this morning, I need that.
Chindogu, very relaxing. Very relaxing.
Very relaxing. Okay, so the Apple Watch, the use of the Apple Watch.
This is such a good thing. This is better than Windows 95.
If you'd want...
Older, by the way, than Windows 95.
If you really want to show what's useful about the Apple Watch, you can play Pong on the Apple Watch. This is a tiny game of Pong.
And you asked me a very appropriate question. I said I've spent many quarters on Pong.
So
and you asked me, did you spend enough to buy an Apple Watch? And probably I did.
Right. And my Apple Watch, which you also bought?
I now own many Apple Watches. You do. And they're just as chindogu
as
before.
Sorry, I got too involved.
I know. It is. It's gripping, isn't it?
But, you know, you can play when you're away from your phone, which is great,
because
you can't do a lot without your phone. Like I like to play in the shower sometimes, Pong, which I can do I can't check Twitter in the shower.
No.
On my Apple Watch.
Can you play Pong in the shower?
Yeah.
Would you play Pong in the shower?
No, not in California because of the drought.
The drought.
But if I lived in a non-drought state, then yes.
I can't wait till Super Breakout. That's going to be awesome. Does it have sound?
Nope. I don't think it's going.
It's not giving you a little haptic feedback.
It is giving me haptic
feedback.
And that feels good. That's the purpose
of
this. You know. So yeah, sometimes when you're talking for a long period of time and you don't see me on camera, this is what I'm doing: playing Pong on the Apple Watch.
All right, I got more. Like, I got
we
more.
Can
I'm
keep
not done.
Showing, but
there's really an unlimited supply of what do we call it?
Chindogu.
This is something actually useful. Johnny Jett told us about this on the radio show, and I just couldn't wait to show you, too. Have you ever been in an airplane?
Yes.
Good start. And you put your stuff in airplane mode. But did you know that you can leave, that you could turn the GPS back on? It's okay. They'll let you do that because it's just passive. It's not transmitting anything. The problem is you don't have internet, so you could have a map open, but you just see yourself flying over blank country. Not anymore. This is a program called Flyover Country. I only seem to pick horizontal challenge programs. So what you do is, this comes, by the way, from the geology department of the University of Minnesota. So you're going to go on a flight. You see, you're going to go, I'm going to go here to here. I'm going to go on this. Let's do this. Whoops. This is going to be a weird flight. Okay. I'm going to go on this flight. What it's going to do is it's going to download. Yeah, that's right. It should be different. I know. It's going to download the maps. So you roughly know what your flight's going to be. It's going to download those maps and stay in memory. And then as you fly over, it's going to show you all sorts of information. Not only will you know we're flying over Portland County. Look at that. That's South Meridian Street. But you're also going to see the geologic stuff, your speed, your altitude. You're going to learn about what's going on in that area. Here, I'll turn on some. There's a what is that thing. So you see what you're looking at. And this, because it's the geology department. They're trying to teach you a little geology. This is so cool. Johnny Jett told me about this. You can do it also. It doesn't have to be a plane. You can do it on car or foot. This is a clever idea. Now it's going to bring me back. Oh, look. Should we see the geology of northern Petaluma? I guess is that as close as I can get? I guess if you're in an airplane, you don't really want to be closer than that. Let's see the street. Of course, just like a regular map and satellite, but this is the one you want. You want terrain. Because what it's going to load in is the geologic formations of the area. I guess it's going to take us a little while. Anyway, this is a free program. Next time you go on a flight, get Flyover Country. And then when you look out the window and you say, what am I flying over? You could actually answer that question and even know, you know, what kind of, is that an old lake bed? Is that an ancient sea? What is it that I'm flying over?
That seems kind of useful.
Not really.
Okay. All right.
But it's interesting. It's uselessly useful.
So like the Apple Watch, I think some people will say that chat bots are a little shindogu.
Really bad.
So here's one. WTFIT.
What the fudge is that?
Yeah. So you just send it a picture and it will tell you what it is. So here's my friend Liz and I.
How accurate
is
it?
Your image is a woman's black framed sunglasses. So it picked out that thing.
Well, I want that bot.
So your image is an online game. That was pretty good. This one was pretty good because I thought I would fool it with this railroad picture. Your image is a gray steel railroad. So these are all useful.
Wow. How do I follow this?
It's just at WTFIT on Messenger.
So I'm on Facebook Messenger, so I could just go WTFIT and it would know. Oh, yeah, it would.
Yeah. Like the assist bot. You've told me about these before.
Yeah, well, and I had to end up blocking Poncho.
Oh, I had blocked Poncho.
So annoying.
Poncho's a jerk.
Poncho's the meanest
cat in the world.
Poncho.is. It was supposed to be weather, but it was just so snarky. And then I typed cancel, and it said, can't do that.
Oh.
I said, quit. Stop.
Oh, you block.
And it wouldn't let me stop. So I finally had to block it like it's a stalker. I had to block it.
Yeah.
Do you think I'm going to have to do that with WTFTIFTFT?
No, it does. It only it's only when you send a picture.
You
so I found all this money.
Is it know what money is?
Let's see.
Be nice if it said that's $432.
Maybe.
The 15 cents.
This was the money that I found in my children's pockets when I was doing the laundry.
Yeah, that looks like laundered
money. So I sent it, and it says, great, let me check that for you. I don't know if it's going to know that's
money. Some sort of image search, huh?
Yeah. So useful, and yet I couldn't exactly find a use for it.
I could say WTFIT this rash, and then it would tell me what I have.
Right. It's not exactly quick either.
Boy, it isn't. You know what? We just brought it down. That's why.
Maybe.
Because I can't load it either.
Oh, we brought it down.
Stop it. Everybody's watching live. Just did it. Stop
it. Oh, your image is a $5 bill. That is a five.
See, it counted it.
Yeah. So what it seems to be doing is just taking one part of the image, like the glasses
right.
or the five. It doesn't know. That's the money you found in your children's pocket when you were doing the laundry.
Well, it wouldn't know that. It doesn't know how clean it is.
We would hope that it's not that smart. But you would know that if you saw that picture, right?
Well, I'm a human. There is a difference. Is a $5 bill. There is a $5 bill there.
Yeah. So it's one thing.
And three $1 bills.
Mm-hmm. In my old washing machine.
What would you do if you found a rolled up hundred, a hundo?
In my children's pockets?
Yeah, Franklin in your children's pockets.
I'd start asking some questions
yeah.
if I saw a hundy, that's for sure.
I think that's the beginning of a great novel. Why don't
it
you go
is.
Write that?
I will.
I'll read it. I think that's, I mean, do you ever do that? You think of a, like a
that is good.
Premise for
yeah.
a novel and go, gee, I wish I had the energy to write
to
a
write
novel.
It. Yeah.
Do you think if you're a good writer that you come up with something like that and the novel just writes itself? Like you just sit down and you go, like Stephen King, he goes, brilliant idea, Stephen. And then he just types and it's done like a couple of weeks later. Do you think it's like that?
Well, not if you watch Misery. Then.
No.
That's not how it happens.
Cut your foot off.
Well, I know we could continue on and on. You said you had an endless supply. I don't know if people have an endless supply.
I have one more,
patience, so
but it's an oldie
more.
But goodie.
Okay, I want to see it or hear
really?
It. Really? Yes.
You may not know about Bleck.
Bleck.
Do you know about Bleck?
No.
This is the greatest Chindogu ever. It's a game. Bleck. Nice sound. And I long ago finished Bleck, so I had taken it off my... machine, but I really love this, so I don't know. It's one of those games. You like games that... What?
Oh.
You like games that don't have rules, right?
Yes.
So now it's... Well, it's putting me back where I was. All right, so let's do that again. I like that. Whoa, no, that's no good. Let's do it like this. Oh, man! You see what I'm... You getting the idea?
Is
you getting the rules
like
here? Well, when, how am I going to do that one? That's tough. See, if I do that, it goes right off there. So what I need to do is maybe... Geez, this is hard. Let's do that. Oh, see, it bounces off. So maybe... Look at that. Oh, nice. So this is the most fun game ever. I really wish I hadn't solved all the puzzles because I envy you now. You're discovering mm-hmm. Bleck for the first time. Oh, man.
It's like as if you never watched The Sopranos and you could go back from
yeah.
the beginning and start
like,
over.
I've been saving Seinfeld for the old age home.
Until your memory goes. Yeah.
Yep. Look at that. So these get much more complex, okay? Oh, and then the black ones, it's a black hole. You can't get in there.
Oh.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Oh. There's actually a technique that you learn.
I love this game.
Yeah, I thought you would.
Bleck.
The sound effects are good, aren't they? Boing, boing. The technique, as I remember it, is to duplicate the move. Oh, man, that's rude. Might have a chance of coming back. There we go. It gets much, much, much more cost. Shall I go to a higher level? I can't remember how to... Oh, yeah. There's quite a few of these.
Wow. level 30 pump.
OMG. How are you going to do one stroke? And you only get one stroke that's going to solve this. Nope, that wasn't it, was it?
This is blowing my mind. Wait, you did that?
Yeah.
Do you remember from when you solved it before?
No.
Or your brain?
That was just luck.
Luck. Wow. All right, so that's enough of useless chindogu.
Chindogu. Many chindogus to go before I sleep.
So let's have some discussions. The Apple Watch. 9 to 5 Mac had
I'm wrestling so much here.
Oh, that's me?
No, it's me.
I always get blamed for everything.
Well, in this case, it's my fault. This microphone, I'll just hold it.
Okay, excellent. So 9 to 5 Mac had a little opinion piece today, and I would like to get your opinion.
Oh, good. All right.
The Apple Watch is over. This version of the Apple Watch. This window has closed. Because I remember last week I was recommending for a Mother's Day gift an Apple Watch, and I saw a little look on your face where you were just like, not sure. So this is a good question.
Well, you know, I'm the one who said it was a flop in like the third month.
Right.
It's clearly not a flop. Apple has sold a ton of them.
They've sold a lot.
I can't remember what the number is, but the last quarter. Yeah, last quarter was 15 million, something like that.
Yeah. Well, anyway, you know, it's funny because we talk about the Amazon Echo. I can't remember. Jay Yarrow tweeted this. It's like the amount of Amazon Echoes that have been sold versus the amount of Apple Watches that have been sold. And we always talk about how the Echo is the thing. And, you know, it's a huge success. And the Apple Watch is a flop. And if you compare.
It's you rattling, not me.
Oh, okay.
But see, let me tell you something. Our job is not to, I mean, when we say it's a flop, we should probably qualify it. It is not a sales flop by any means, but that doesn't mean it's a good or useful or wonderful technology. It just means it's sold well. McDonald's hamburgers sell well. Doesn't mean the best cut of meat in the world, right? So I would say that the reason tech people love the Echo and are not so crazy about the watch is really comes down to not sales or appreciation by the public, but just as tech people, we really kind of get the Echo is the beginning of something very exciting. We're not so convinced on the Apple Watch, and I remain unconvinced. Having said that, I'm wearing a Fitbit. I do think for exercise, the Apple Watch, this is the Fitbit Blaze. It's a little less expensive. It's $200. But I was told that it's very important if you're going to exercise to monitor your heart rate. That's how you know what level of exercise, if you're an aerobic or anaerobic, and you need to get it to a certain level and keep it in that level. And there's all sorts of technology that's pretty well known about heart rate and exercise. So a heart rate monitor, an accurate one, is really useful. And the Apple Watch is as good as it gets, right? The only reason I wear this instead of the Apple Watch is it does continuous heart rate monitoring. And that's a battery issue. So the Apple Watch, as it stands, doesn't have much battery life.
I'm at 66%. It's only 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah. This goes 5 days. But the nice thing is I never knew my resting heart rate because you have to literally say, measure it. And as soon as I measure my heart rate, it goes up. So this watch tells me my resting heart rate, which is 68, which is good. And that's another indicator, really, of improving health, because it was 75 or 76, and now it's gone down below 60. Actually, that's a little high today. Usually it's around 64, 65. So those kinds of things I think the Apple Watch is great for. In fact, what I would say is the Apple Watch, if there's a specific use, it's chindogu unless there's one use that you get something out of, whether it's heart rate or many people say the notifications are lifesavers for them. I did not find that as useful. I don't really want to be notified every time somebody sends me a message or calls my phone. And this does that too, by the way. But I don't like notifications particularly. But if you do, then that's a great use for you. If Pong rocks your boat or floats it, then that would maybe be enough reason to buy it. I do agree with 9 to 5 on this one respect. The next watch is coming.
Right. That's my question. It's too late to buy it unless you get a deal on it.
Well, we don't know when it's coming. No one knows.
You think 5 months?
Yeah. For sure.
Announced in 5 months.
For sure by September.
Announced. For a spring release.
No. I think that.
Announced.
I think for Christmas release. They're going to try to hit the Christmas buying season,
that
right?
Makes sense.
So, that's actually also a personal decision. Like, well, would it bother you or bother your mom if you gave her an Apple Watch? She might be thrilled to get an Apple Watch for Mother's Day and not really worry about it coming out in September. And when it comes out, not going, oh, dear, I have the wrong one. that's something people like us care about, but normal people probably don't. Mm-hmm. So that's another personal thing. The watch, there's no easy answer to, is the watch a good thing or not?
No.
It's not another iPhone, but what would be? And it's a decent business for Apple, and I respect them for trying something, and it's a category that's going to end up being useful. You know, we had on the new screensavers, I can't remember if you were on that episode or not, the people who scanned your ears, I don't think you were. And the United Sciences people have a Kickstarter now. They're making wearables that are like in-ear monitors, but they also measure your heart rate, your blood oxygen, your blood pressure. They're going to do a lot of stuff. There's stuff you can do in the ear that you can't do as well on the wrist. So I think wearables is not a bad thing, but I just don't know if the watch is the amazing thing.
Yeah, and so that's a good point. Yeah, if
so
you are an early adopter, then...
Yeah, I'm sorry. IO Geek's saying that the Apple Watch will monitor your heart rate every 10 minutes on the health app. Is that the case?
Well, I don't know. Let's see what my
health
app looks like.
I thought it wouldn't do that. If that's the case, then that does exactly what this does. Every 10 minutes, this measures.
So
on your health app, you see your heart rate. Can you see what your resting rate was?
Where would I see that?
He says, go to Health Data and Vitals.
Vitals.
Do you have a heart rate vital?
Like here? Heart rate?
Yeah.
69. Is that my resting heart rate?
No.
That's...
All right, well, there you go.
So that's my heart rate.
That's the other reason, by the way.
What's going on?
I don't wear the Apple Watch all the time. Is because I don't carry the iPhone with me all the time, so...
I like also that I'm very concerned about my privacy. I don't know what someone could use all this information to.
Well, I'm denying you insurance, that's for sure.
Look at how much I work out. Come on.
I know. It's impressive.
Look at that.
You know, I walked to work today.
That's impressive.
And that's where, again, a watch is great. So I know I have already done 5,292 steps, that my average heart rate on that walk was 79. It must have been more than that. Beats per minute because I huffed it. That's useful. I think that useful mostly in motivation, right? I went 2.6 miles, burnt 1,633 calories, and climbed 13 floors. I think that incentivizes you. That's satisfying for me after I've walked to work to look at that and go, yay, yeah. I did something today.
Yeah, I like looking at my heart rate, you know, when you're in exercise. And
yeah. Well, I do that at, like on spin class. The instructor says, don't go over 170. I said, I'm at 350. Is that okay? No.
You're not really at 350, are you?
No, 170. I don't go over 170.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you can see progress, too.
Yeah, like you can see in the middle of your workout.
Yeah, and I'm getting better. Yeah. I don't go as high. You know, I think all of that's useful.
I think so, too. All right. Well, let's get some questions.
But it
questions.
Is a luxury tech item that's very expensive. And you certainly should. You shouldn't feel bad if you don't have one.
No. And you shouldn't feel bad if you have one as well.
Yeah, you should feel bad if you...
All right, so have you heard this tip that's been going around about downloading a big movie in order to reduce the amount of space on your... to increase your storage space by downloading a big movie?
On the Apple TV?
No, on your iPhone.
A big movie. How
so
would
Josh
that
from England
increase
sent us this
the number
tip,
of spa- and, amount of space?
That's my question for you. So what they say is to go through... This trick frees up space on your iPhone without deleting a thing... So you're supposed to go.
Oh.
Have you heard of this? You go.
So the idea is
you download
this movie forces the iPhone to empty temp files and cached files because it needs the space, and then you delete the movie, right?
You don't actually buy the movie. You don't go all the way through. Like, you don't have to pay for it or anything. You don't ever watch the movie either. But you go all the way through, and you almost download the movie. Yeah, and then it does what you said.
And then delete it.
Yeah.
But you don't have to pay for it? Oh, you can't.
It says you cannot download it.
Yeah.
You say, okay.
Good. And then it's going to...
It's just going to clear up your space.
Well, you can also... Yeah, that's an interesting idea. It's a good waste of bandwidth. I'm not sure I'd advocate that. You could go to the usage tab, you know, and delete a lot of stuff.
But maybe this is quicker.
Well, you don't... One thing that is true, you don't have access to the temp files and the cache files. Well, actually, maybe you do. This is not quicker. This is the fastest, easiest way to do it in settings. The question is, can you delete everything that's occupying space? Remember Other?
Mm-hmm.
The orange Other? I think that's not a problem anymore. Storage usage. Manage storage. So you see, I have used 84 gigs on this. I only have 30 left. I think you can only do it by app. But on the other hand, Messages is one of the apps that has a lot of wasted space because it stores all the media you get in your Messages app. And I don't know if there's any easy way to delete that stuff. So maybe this is an interesting, I mean, it wouldn't hurt to try it,
as long as you're on Wi-Fi.
Wouldn't hurt if you're not paying for your bandwidth, yeah. You don't want to go over your caps.
So John from New York City says, I went to Mexico last week and used my iPhone 6S Plus on Sprint there. I'm just trying to figure out if it's better to add international to my Sprint service plan or switch the SIM card. But I don't understand the whole SIM card process, so maybe you can discuss that also.
Well, first of all, because you say Sprint, the good news is Sprint has followed in T-Mobile's footsteps with their global plan. So Sprint actually is now the best carrier, U.S. carrier, to have if you travel internationally, because they give you a gigabyte as part of you have to sign up. I know you have to sign up for the world plan. It doesn't cost you more, but it will give you international phone calls, I think 20 cents a minute, unlimited texting, a gigabyte of high-speed data per month, and then unlimited free, 2G access for the rest of the month. So that is a really good deal. T-Mobile does something very similar, 20-cent phone calls, unlimited text messaging, and then unlimited 2G data, but they don't have that 1 gigabyte high-speed data. So the answer is, because you're on Sprint and you're in Mexico, you're probably okay, but the trick always is to be very aware of how much data roaming you use. That's what gets expensive, because that's your carrier then paying the Mexican carrier for the data you use. And everybody overcharges. The Mexican carrier overcharges your carrier. Your carrier passes along that expense and charges you more. So it can add up to be thousands of dollars. So you have a couple of choices. You can keep an eye on it. Disable data roaming when you don't need it. The problem is, you see, your email and your other stuff is always getting data, is always getting stuff. So before I leave the country, I disable data roaming. But it's nice to have an international plan, because if you need it, like you're lost, you're in Mexico City and you took a wrong turn, now where's my hotel? You can do it on your phone. You turn on international data, turn on data roaming, and now you can load a map, find your way home, and then turn it off again. So I think that's a great solution. The problem with changing the SIM, when you get to a country, you can buy a SIM card. I think all iPhones now have SIM card support. There's a couple of things you got to be aware of. Verizon does not lock their SIM slot. A carrier lock means you can't use another company's card in your phone. Sprint probably does lock the card slot. So first thing you do is call Sprint and say, I'm going to go to Mexico. Can you unlock the SIM slot? And most carriers, if you're going overseas, will do it. Yeah, how long are you going to be gone? Oh, I'm gone a couple of weeks. Okay, we'll unlock it for those 2 weeks. That means when you get to Mexico, at the airport, at the post office, at a store, you can often, everywhere, you can buy a Mexican SIM card, which will include usually data for a certain amount of money. We bought one in England. It was £30 for a month of unlimited data on 3. So 30 might even be less. There's a negative side to that. You put that SIM, you take your old SIM out, put it away safely, because that's the identifier that says this is your phone. You won't be able to use your phone when you get back to the States. If you lose your SIM, you'll have to go to the Sprint store and get a new one. So store it safely and then put the Mexican SIM in. But now here's the problem. You no longer have your U.S. number. You have a Mexican number. And so if you're expecting phone calls, nobody's going to be able to reach you. But you may have cheaper calls within Mexico, cheaper texting, maybe, often not, within Mexico, and you'll be paying data at a different rate. So sometimes people do that. If you've moved to a country, for instance, it's probably a good idea. But Henry's in Barcelona right now. He's coming back from Spain in about a week. He's been there all year. He went in January. He brought his iPhone, and what he said is, can I have a Sprint phone? Because everybody here is using all the American exchange students are using Sprint because of that One World thing. Mm-hmm. And he's been using that, and that's worked out quite well. So he's been using a Sprint SIM on my account, so I know how well it's working out, while he's in Barcelona. And that worked out really well. He preferred to do that than getting a Barcelona number.
All right, we have a voicemail from Michael, I believe.
Hi, Megan and Leo. Michael here from New York City with a Siri tip. I like to ask Siri to send a message or send an email But any time I pause to take a breath or think of a word, she beeps and asks if I'm ready to send it.
I know, I hate that.
I discovered that after she beeps for the message, if I hold down the home button, she will listen as long as I hold the button down. Then I don't have to worry about pausing to think of a word and having her rudely cut me off. There it is. Love the show. Thanks for your work.
Thanks for the tip. That's something they added a couple of versions. It was before your time, actually. It was when we were still doing iPad today. When you can trigger Siri by pressing the button and releasing, or saying, in some cases, hey, you know who, hey, Shlomo. But if you trigger it by pressing and holding, Siri will continue to listen for as long as you hold the button. Gives you time to think, consider, and then finally, when you release the button, pause, she'll conclude and say, okay, do you want me to send this? So that is actually a feature that they added, you know, maybe a couple of years ago in iOS. And it's a really wonderful feature. It really solves that problem. And if you think about it, if you do, you know, press and release, she needs a way of knowing when to start working. Mm-hmm. And if they made it too long, then people would complain, oh, geez, Siri's so unresponsive. If they make it too short, then it sends a message before you're ready to stop. So I think that's a good solution, is to press and hold that button.
I think so, too. All right, we have another voicemail, and this might be a stumper. I haven't run this by you yet.
You sent me a stumper this morning, and I said, I don't know.
That's another stumper. This is a stumper. So this one is from Trevor. Let's listen to this voicemail.
Hi, Megan and Leo. This is Trevor from D.C. I like to run and listen to podcasts. I'd like to use my Apple Watch to listen to podcasts with a Bluetooth headset. And here's the catch, leave my iPhone at home. Apple will allow you to transfer music to the watch, but not podcasts. The podcast apps I found will allow you to use the watch as a remote control for the podcast apps on the phone, but they don't let you transfer podcasts to the watch. I read there's a way to do this using iTunes. You change a podcast file's ID3 tag to a music file,
right,
create a music playlist in iTunes, transfer the music on that playlist to your iPhone, and then to the watch using the iPhone's watch app. Only trouble is that I mostly use my Chromebook Pixel, and there's no Chrome OS version of iTunes.
No.
As far as I know, there's no other way to get music files, converted from podcasts or otherwise, into the Apple Music app other than by using iTunes. Any suggestions? Let me know. Enjoy the show. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Trevor is asking a lot. Yeah,
I get,
John said Android back there.
What's funny is I get these calls on the radio show too, where somebody says, "Well, I have this problem," and they state the problem, and you say, "Oh, well, it's very simple." Oh, did I mention I don't use a computer? And by the time they're done, they've boxed you in. You can't do it with those constraints. You can't do it. No, the question that you're asking and is perfect, because what you're really saying is, how does the watch know it's a podcast as opposed to music, and why does it treat podcasts differently? Well, I don't know the answer to the second question. That kind of drives me crazy. Why should it treat podcasts differently?
Yeah.
But what you should know is the way it knows it's a podcast is a simple checkbox. It is not a standard. So you can't use other applications to do it. It's not part of the standard, we call them MP3 tags, the info that is stored in an audio file. It is a separate, unique box that is part of iTunes, unfortunately, where it says media kind. So I'm looking at what is clearly not music. It says Governor Brown's budget. I don't know why I have this in audio. But if you right-click on the song, and you can do this, by the way, with many songs. If you select all the songs or all the podcasts you want to change and select them all using, you know, shift-click or command-click, and then right-click on it and say get info. This is the info box. Can you see that, Anthony? I don't know if you can see that, but there's the info box. And you'll see in the options there are some settings. You can't see it? Oh, he hasn't set it up, so he didn't expect to want to see my screen.
We're just throwing stumpers at everybody.
But you do need to be able to run it in iTunes. That means Windows or Mac. You can't do it on a Chromebook Pixel. So here's let me walk through this again. This is the Governor Brown budget, and then I'm going to go to Get Info. And I would show you with some other things, but this is apparently the only thing I have in iTunes right now. So, and by the way, this is where you can say, you know, Gov Brown. You can clean up the tags.
Right.
So that they look better. You can add an artist. Let me go back to info.
That's what I want to listen to on my next run.
Yeah, and the artist is Prince, of course. Or maybe I should say the artist formerly known as Prince. The album and so forth. I have a little tip I'll show you, by the way, how you can get the Prince logo in your fonts.
Oh.
Wouldn't you like that?
Yes.
Let's go here to options, and there's the culprit, MediaKind. Now, this is Apple only. Music, podcast, iTunes U, audiobook, or voice memo. You know, the reason they do that, I think, is if it's a podcast and you stop listening, you don't want to start at the beginning again.
Mm-hmm.
You want to start where you left off. Same thing for an audiobook or iTunes U. But if it's music and you end, you know, halfway through a Beyonce song, you want to start the song from the beginning next time, right?
Yes.
So that's the main difference in how it treats it. And I guess we found another one, which is you can't copy it to the Apple Watch unless it's music. I'm not sure if that's the case, but that's how it knows whether it's a podcast or not. And if you say it refuses to copy podcasts, well, that's probably why. So there you can go. You can change that in that info box, but you've got to use iTunes to do it. There's no other way to do it. I guess you could maybe write a program that would find that specific bit, set it.
I thought that was an interesting question. If anybody knows the answer, let us know. But I don't ever, I just strap my phone to my arm when I run. Like, that's just the easiest way. Because I still have PTSD from all the times I had to sync my iPod to my computer and, like, I, you know, put podcasts on it. And so now, just like the fact that I can have everything in here, I just, it's on the arm. People make fun of me. It's a good workout for your arm. There's also belts you can use.
Why can't we listen to podcasts? That just seems like a simple thing, right? Mm-hmm. I don't understand.
I don't know. But maybe watch OS 2.
So the Daily Dot had a great story about the Prince glyph. Remember, in 1993, the artist formerly known as Prince, probably mostly because he wanted to screw Warner Brothers, his record label, he had a new album coming out, decided, I'm not going to be called Prince anymore. I'm going to be called the love symbol. It's a unique symbol. And the record industry went crazy because this character does not exist on any keyboard. So what did they do? And by the way, I thank Anil Dash, who found the floppy disk that the record label Warner Brothers sent to all the music press in 1993 with a font that had one character in it. The font is simply called Prince True, and it has that character. Now, I'm going to click this link, and I'm hoping the Dropbox folder is still there. It is. So the Daily Dot very kindly put up a Dropbox folder that contains the Prince font. Let me open it up for you, and you can see. Here you go, ladies and gentlemen. This is the font. One character only. And let me install it, because it's fully scalable. So When you want to use it, it gets as big as you need it to be. This is a fit to screen. I can make it smaller or bigger. Here's the 14-point version. Here's the 124-point version. And I guess this is more like a 400-point version. And it scales beautifully. So there you go. Thank you, Daily Dot. I now have the Prince font on my MacBook. And the problem is, if I put this in a, you know, message to you, it would just be a square box unless you had installed the Prince font also, in which case.
Yeah.
So may I suggest that everybody in the world install the Prince font, then we can put it in our Twitters.
That makes sense. What's an appropriate use for it? Like, what question does it answer? I'm just waiting when you send it to me what I'm hearing.
Oh, it's obscure. It's deliberately obscure. It's good. See, that's good. We can assign anything we want to it.
Okay, good to know.
It's a TrueType font, so it would work on Windows as well as Mac. Everybody should have the Prince font.
Yeah, so I think the answer to Trevor's question is watch OS 2, perhaps.
It's inexplicable to me why they wouldn't have podcasts. Doesn't everybody listen to podcasts when they run?
I do. Okay, we got another possible stumper. Brian, this is an email. Brian Parker writes, how many Bluetooth connections can my iPhone 6S handle at once? Currently, I'm connected with my Apple Watch, my car, Big Jam Box, Fitbit Charge, and the automatic. He also asked me how I got the score of 39 on the automatic. But a Twit sponsor.
Really, I don't score well in automatic either. I'm just sad because I think I'm a good driver, and then automatic reminds me I'm not.
Yeah.
So I don't. You know, there's we looked up the specification, and you said 255 devices. That's, you know, not a coincidence. That's an 8-bit number, right? But that most devices have a limit. My car, for instance, you can only pair 6 phones to my car, and after that, it says you have to delete one before I'll allow you to pair one. That's a limit, artificial limitation imposed by the car. Mm-hmm. I've never seen the iPhone run out of space.
No, I've seen 7. I've seen several. I mean, you can't connect to like more than one Bluetooth speaker at
once.
So you'd have to have. I mean, how many different things?
So when you say at the same time. Okay, so I interpreted it like have it in my list that I could pair to when I need to. But yeah, you can only have, my understanding of the rule is, so everything that is paired in every Bluetooth device has to be paired to a specific profile. There's a Bluetooth earbud profile. There's a stereo sound profile. It's called A2DP. There's a mouse profile. There's a keyboard profile. So there are a number of Bluetooth profiles. And it's my understanding that one and only one device from each profile type can be attached at the same time. So if you had, that's why you can't pair two speakers. They both use the A2DP profile, and it's impossible for two devices simultaneously to use that profile. Here's a list of Bluetooth profiles from Wikipedia, and you can see there are quite a few, 38 separate profiles. So I guess you could have 38 different devices paired at the same time. Seems unlikely that you're going to have some of these, you know, profiles. Common ISDN access profile does not seem like something that's going to show up a lot. Cordless telephony profile. Well, that's to pair to a phone. Dial-up networking profile. Yeah, you know, you can use Bluetooth to get online with dial-up networking. Fax profile. So these are all different profiles. And it's my understanding, one and only one device for each profile at a given time. So 38 is the answer. I wish it were 42.
Well, that's a question because, I mean, it works enough is the answer
enough.
For me.
Well, but not enough if you want two speakers. But you can see why. I mean, you know, if you wanted a Bluetooth headset in each ear, one for business and one for pleasure. I don't know. There, I could see why you might say, well, I want more. But that, you know. Human interface device is keyboard and mouse. See, that might be one issue. Like, if you wanted to pair a mouse and a keyboard at the same time. Can you? I don't know if you can. They're both HIDs.
Well, we reached the time in the show for the hats.
Oh, today we're both vegetables.
Yes, I like vegetable day.
See which vegetable I am, see which vegetable... Do you even know how to put that on?
I do.
Did you get lessons?
This is my first rodeo.
It's Ms. Leek.
But, yes.
So that comes to us from Wales, where the leek is a official symbol of Welsh independence.
Yes.
And you're a bearded leek.
Mm-hmm, a bearded leek.
Yeah.
Thank you for whoever gave me this.
Believe it or not, the hat I'm wearing came from a completely separate source.
Really?
Apparently, many people bring us vegetable hats. Mm-hmm. This one looks like a chili pepper. I wore a hat when I walked in today. I wore my Tilly. Do you know about Tilly hats?
No. Is it good to keep for keeping the sun off here?
Yeah. Super lightweight. 3 ounces. Okay. It says made, handcrafted with Canadian persnicketiness. So that's good. These Tilly hats are not cheap, but they are lightweight and indestructible. So I wear this when I travel or I walk to work because it keeps the sun off my face. But the other thing about a Tilly hat, you can wash it.
Oh.
Which is nice, right? You could throw it in the washing machine. And you'll see on the website, there even was a case where a guy was wearing his Tilly hat when he was on safari. An elephant grabbed it and ate it. And he loved his hat so much, he waited around until the elephant pooped it out, washed it. Good as new. So that's why I wear a Tilly hat, just in case of elephants. So should I go back to the pepper? Because I feel like it's not fair to make you wear a leek and me wear a Tilly
hat. I'm completely comfortable here. cats because this is the app cap section, our favorite app and our favorite cap. Or in your case,
perfect.
Your second favorite cap because you're Tilly.
My Tilly is my favorite hat. You're absolutely right.
So this app came recommended to me from Laura, who's our accountant here.
Somebody says you look like Mama Smurf.
Mama Smurf didn't have a beard. Only Papa Smurf had a beard.
So what did Laura? What did Laura pick for us?
Have you heard of the Skim?
No.
The Skim with two M's.
Wait a minute. Our accountant told you about an app called the Skim. This does not bode well.
I actually didn't think about that before I said that out loud.
Hey, Megan, have you ever heard of the Skim?
The Skim as in skimming articles for their best.
That's what she told you afterwards.
She was
using
the Skim.
I mean skimming articles.
She was using the Skim while she was having her lunch, skimming and getting her latest, you know,
I got
news.
My pepper on you, Laura.
She was getting her latest news. So this is the Skim. Sorry.
And that's the leak.
The Skim is an app that started to by two ladies. They just take all the information you need and give it to you. And this is a calendar.
This is
so
good.
So the Daily Skim. Let's see what we need to know.
Oh, man. This is an idea I had.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I can't say I invented it. Remember Daily Candy?
Yes.
Yeah. I registered a site through the Libyan registrar, DAI.ly. And it was going to be your daily dose of, what did it stand for? DAI stood for something. Daily. But it was like this. It's like a daily access to information.
Yeah, just little information, quote of the day. And it also adds to your calendar so that you can know. Let's see. I have it in my calendar here. Let me make sure there's nothing else
in
my calendar.
By the way, they're saying that beard really works with the dress.
Oh, thanks. So I thought so, yeah. Well, I'm going to ask for more stuff like this in my next trunk.
Trunk club for hats. Now that I would join.
Yes, for funny hats. Okay, so I've added the Skim to my calendar. So it tells me, for example, today I need to buy a Mother's Day present and a winter's prom is today. It'll add like SpaceX and Tesla stuff. It just gives me this information about Tesla and adds it straight to my calendar with emoji. Austin City Limits, tickets go on sale, Grace and Frankie, some stuff, the Kentucky Derby, for example.
Yeah, that normally it's May 1st, but of course this week it's like this week.
So the Skim is, I love it, like because I feel like I don't have time to keep up.
But is it only for women?
No.
Is it only for...
It's only for women as much as your purse is only for women. You know, you're a fully evolved.
Have you seen my toes? Bag. well, they're quite attractive. I'll just show you real quickly. You don't mind.
No.
You don't mind. I've decided this.
And it's just you and I here, so.
It's just, I decided to go with.
Wait, that's not, we got to get it on the, Anthony's like, I'm not getting any closer to his feet than that. Not
I decided
doing it.
To go orange this week. Every week I have a new color.
Right, so the Skim, yeah, and it tells, like, it's, you know, like Medium will tell you, like, this is going to take 5 minutes to read or 10 minutes to read. This little New Yorker article, 15-minute read, if I had 15 minutes.
It's really
minutes.
A shame we don't have a Harry's ad this week.
It is.
Ladies, if you feel like you look like a leak. So does it, okay, so if there's a link, it looks like it brings you to...
The
website.
Yeah. So
it's built into the Skim?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was like a New Yorker article. If I had 15 minutes, I would read about the Middle East.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. So keep yourself updated.
I'm going to get the Skim.
The Skim.
There are a number, you know, we've done this in the past, news apps, but there are a number of apps, I think, that do that where it's curation, mm-hmm. right? Where somebody that you trust and like their taste picks stuff that you would be interested in.
Right. So it's not skimming off the top.
It's hard to take you seriously when you nod. Yeah, it's the nodding that really gets me.
The Skim.
The Skim. I'm downloading it right now. I can't wait. I have something edgy. By the way, Laura, it's nice to know that you're good at skimming. I have something that is educational, and unfortunately, well, why unfortunately? It's exactly how it's been all day. It's another one of those portrait modes. Why, people? Why make an iPad app that is that only goes in portrait mode?
No, that's the biggest
so
question.
So I think Shakespeare is awesome. Shakespeare recently, they recently celebrated the anniversary of his death, 400th anniversary of his death. We speak in Shakespearean phrases all the time without even knowing it. And it's important if you're going to be an educated person, in the English language, you need to know some Shakespeare. Mm-hmm. In fact, one of my favorite college courses was a great Shakespearean scholar. And I fell in love with it. And what I'm sad about is a lot of time kids are exposed to Shakespeare and it's opaque and they don't get, I don't understand it. It's boring. Why would I be interested? I can't, they're not speaking English. So an appreciation for Shakespeare, I think, is really an important part. This is a great app, and it's the beginning, I think, of there's one per play of many apps about Shakespeare. Now, the name is a little bit confusing. It's called the Tempest Heuristic, but that means because it's teaching you. Okay, so let's choose, I'll be a beginner. The best place for those to start new to Shakespeare, a beginner. And I'm going to skip help, and we're going to go right into The Tempest. Now, first of all, they've done a really nice job of making it approachable, right? With a great illustration. You can even watch a video and download a video about it. Here is the text. And immediately you'll see, and this is very helpful, every word that might be a little troubling has an underline, and you can get some more information. So the play, The Tempest, begins... Here, master, what cheer? What? What is he talking about? What that means, what is the situation, right? Good. Oh, and then we're going to have, by the way, that funny-looking guy. This is the...
Hi, my heart. Cheerly. Cheerly, my heart. Yah! Yah! Taking the topsail.
So that...
Tend to the master's whistle.
So you can actually read along with the text. Well, now, admittedly, this is not the most brilliant staging, but you're at least hearing somebody say it. And you can read along the text, and you might want to pause because what does blow till thou burst thy wind, if room enough, mean? And you can say, well, you can blow as hard as you like. The boatswain is challenging the storm to blow until it runs out of wind. A great way to kind of study Shakespeare and learn more about it. You can also, oh, good, finally, we can rotate this sucker. And we're going to see who are the various cast members. They've really done a nice job. Ah, so it was only in the launch that it was in a portrait mode. You can see what things look like. These are nymphs, reapers, and spirits from other Shakespeare productions, which is kind of fun to see what they look like. Now, that's the production I want to see. Those nymphs are hot. But you can see why this would be great for high school or somebody who didn't get an education in Shakespeare who would like to learn more about Shakespeare. They're starting with The Tempest, which is a good place to start. I think it's a fairly accessible a Shakespeare play, and there's a lot of stuff happening, and just a really nice job of this. I think it's $10. You'll have to check for me, Anthony. It's been a while since I downloaded it. There's more, too, by the way. $5.99, not bad at all. By the way, there's Ian McKellen, who's one of the great Shakespearean actors. You may know him as Gandalf. Or is he Gandalf?
Yeah.
Yep.
It's kind of hard to tell without his beard and staff. But he is a great actor. And so hearing him talk about it, they also have people talking about that. I'm glad that they don't force you to download all the videos. It would be a massive app.
The amazing thing
they download pretty quickly
is that it's set in a single location.
Nearly. So I really want to encourage teenagers to learn more about Shakespeare. If you can't go see a well-done Shakespeare play, this would be the next best thing to really learn about. And if you're a teacher... there's just a huge amount of value, and I think in getting, you know, we've talked about iPads in education, and while I'm not convinced an iPad is, you know, the end all and be all for education, an app like this really makes you realize this is so much better than a textbook, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's called The Tempest, Shakespeare Heuristic, and lots of great video or heuristic Shakespeare, I should say.
Third best would be to watch the Romeo and Juliet with Claire Danes and Leonardo DiCaprio.
Really? You like that one?
Yes. Okay. You did not?
It's okay. They made a Macbeth. Michael Fassbender as Macbeth that I think just disappeared from the theaters. It was like... And it's really well done. Macbeth would be... I hope they do Macbeth next. Actually, you're not supposed to say the name out loud. The Scottish play. I hope they do the Scottish play next because that would be really well suited for this. And I sincerely hope that they have the energy to do all of Shakespeare's plays because this is really great. Lots of information on Shakespeare's life and times and just really beautiful. I think beautifully done.
To put the play in context, there's an interactive...
Well...
Heuristic Shakespeare. $5.99.
Well, this show creeped by its petty pace from day to day.
To the last syllables of recorded time.
Yes.
And all our yesterdays have lighted fools the way to dusty death. However, we will be back next week.
We will. Same time, same place, different hats.
You can't kill us.
Different apps. But thanks for tuning in. Yeah, email me, megan@twit.tv, if you got questions. Leave us voicemail.
I love those voicemails.
Yes.
Keep those questions coming. And mm-hmm. we do research them. Actually, you know what we should do as a stumper? Maybe next week somebody could give us the answer.
Yes.
The question that you asked me this morning.
Yes.
Somebody has a keyboard and, of course, an on-screen keys for their iPad, and he wants different behavior. When the keyboard's attached to you, does he want the function keys when the keyboard's
he
attached?
He says when he's using the Bluetooth keyboard, it sometimes acts funny and does, you know,
so
autocorrect
doesn't
work, and then he has to do
he
this.
Wants to turn autocorrect off when he's on the Bluetooth keyboard.
But then keep it on.
And keep it on when he's not. Suggestions? Is there a way to do that? I told Megan, I said, I don't even think there's a way to distinguish.
I don't know. So, yeah, different behaviors for your Bluetooth keyboard and your on-screen keyboard.
If
that's
anybody
your
can
homework.
Answer, you could. Thanks for being here. We'll see you next time on iOS Today. As he flips off.